Let's pray together. Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be worthy expressions unto you. Amen. I've sort of given you a quick synopsis of my sermon today when I was talking with the young people. And I hope it doesn't detract from the message. More than 75 million people worldwide are displaced or forced to live away from their homes because of war, civil unrest, conflict, or extreme weather conditions. But why should we care? Over 5 million children in the developing world will die this year from preventable illnesses like dysentery, malnutrition, and malaria. Why should we care? Access to safe, clean drinking water continues to be a problem for some of the First Nations people in Canada, a country with the world's largest supply of fresh water in our lakes and rivers. We can build pipelines across reserves for thousands of kilometers to carry oil and gas, but we can't seem to build these same pipelines a few miles to carry potable water for these same people to drink. Why should we care? Over 18 million hectares of forest burned in Australia, an area bigger than the size of the country of Switzerland. And it's estimated that over 1 billion animals perished, including koalas, kangaroos, duck-billed platypuses, and many others. But why should we care? The COVID virus has now been declared a world pandemic, and it is even affecting politicians, celebrities, and billionaires, so no one is immune. But it's not in Peterborough, so why should we care? Why should we care? Why should we care? These are just some of the big events that are affecting the world right now. Yet they are distant from us and likely not impacting us directly at all. So when you hear about them, why should you care? And what is caring? Left by itself, I care. Doesn't mean much. You need an event or a cause or a thing to care about. This brings us to our first reading today from Genesis. God created human beings in his likeness. And we know that God is love. Hence, God created us to be beings who love. And he purposely put man in charge of looking after the fish, birds, and the wild animals, to care for them. Then let's skip over to our second reading today, taken from Matthew 25, starting with verse 31. And we hear Jesus painting a picture for his followers of what will happen when he returns. He will take all of the people and divide them into two groups. With the righteous on his right, and everyone else on his left. He offers those on his right to come and possess the kingdom of God, which had been prepared for them since creation in the first place. So, God put us in charge of caring for the world in the beginning. And at the same time, he created the reward, the kingdom of God, for those who responded to the mandate and cared for the least important of his followers over time. The group on the left Those who were cast away asked, "When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison?" And Jesus, standing in judgment, answered, "Whenever you refuse to help one of the least important of these, you refuse to help me." We often look at the world events and shrug our shoulders and say that the problems are beyond our scope, are out of our reach, are more than we can expect to make a difference. And this reminds me of the story of the young boy who was walking along a beach in the Florida Keys after a powerful storm had raged for 2 days and nights. The beach was littered with debris and dead and dying sea life. There was also an old man walking on the beach from the opposite direction, and he could observe the young boy bend down every so often as he walked, pick something up, and fling it into the sea. When the old man got closer, he could see that what the young boy was picking up were starfish, stranded by the storm on the beach. As he approached the boy, he admonished him, "It's no use, son, you can't make a difference. They're all gonna die anyway." To which the young boy bent down, picked up another starfish from the wet sand, and threw it into the surf, saying, "Made a difference in that one." The young boy wasn't thinking of the thousands of sea creatures which littered the beach. He was thinking of the one right in front of him that needed to be cared for then. Jesus, in his message in Matthew, was not expecting those on the right to have saved millions. He was looking to see if they had made a difference to even the least important among them. Jesus saw himself even in the least important, heeding back to the passage in Genesis where God said, "We will make you human beings. They will be like us and resemble us." God made us to be creatures who love all creation, from the mightiest to the most humble. Achatondi. You've heard that name before. We've been sponsoring her for 10 years. She lives in Burkina Faso. You've never met her. And yet you've been helping her to grow and finish school. You probably will never meet her in your lifetime. And when she ages out of the Christian Children's Fund program at the age of 18, you'll probably never hear from her again, and you will never know how her life turns out. Still, you support her. Why? Because you care. It's because somebody helped you in the past, and now you are doing the same thing for someone else. Or is it because you have seen for yourself the poverty in many parts of Africa and the hardships that young girls in particular face, and you want to reach out and lift up one because you have been blessed and you can do it? Or is it because you too had to struggle when you were young and you know what it means when you can't turn to somebody for help and you're feeling alone? Face your problems. Whatever your reason, it is the Holy Spirit which is at work in you, planting that seed, providing the inspiration to reach out. Because in that passage in Genesis, when God spoke and created human beings, he didn't say, "I am going to create human beings." He said, "Let us create human beings." So the Trinity was already there. So it was the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. If you heed the intuition, you are following God's directive, and you will be rewarded, according to Luke 6, verse 38, which reads, "Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure." And it goes on and finishes with, "The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you." I care because of the love and grace of God working in my life. But for God's grace, there may be I have been lifted up by the grace of God when I was at my lowest in life. I know firsthand about God's almighty power. It may not be possible to help every person in the world, but perhaps at this moment there is one in need that has been brought to your attention just so that you can help. You can stretch out your hands and lift someone up today. Look at it as both the way you give back and also to pay forward. Perhaps that is why you have what you have today. They are gifts to you so that you can share them with others. These gifts were given to you so that to help you and your loved ones to live a meaningful life. At the same time, you can use them to bless others. By doing that, you can live a happier and a more fulfilled life. You are wired to do well with your life in order to make something good of it. And giving back is a part of that fulfillment. Some of the greatest wealth creation gurus of our time believe that giving back is a basic criteria for achieving success. In August of 2010, Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett got together and launched a movement of the world's richest people to promise to give away most of their wealth to address problems in society. This was known as the Giving Pledge. It now includes over 200 people. It grew out of Bill and Melinda Gates establishing the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2003. And they put $30 billion into that at the time. And they enticed Warren Buffett to put in another 15. So it was funded with $45 billion. And its intention was to wipe out malaria in Africa. And they started to buy malaria nets with this money and distributed them across the continent. It has cut the rate of malaria in children by 11 million a year. Because of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the work it was doing, the United States government under George Bush was embarrassed because they were doing nothing. And the government of the United States set up a fund called PEPFAR in 2004 in order to make additional donations toward health and welfare in Africa and around the world. The Gates, despite giving away over $45 billion in the last 10 years for this Giving Pledge Foundation, have seen their wealth grow to $113 billion from $53 billion in 2010. That's a gain of $60 billion. Warren Buffett made charitable donations of over $27 billion in that 10-year period. And he finds his net worth at $89 billion today, a gain of $42 billion. So you gotta give it away in order to get it back, I guess. While there's no connection between giving and caring and wealth accumulation, I have to believe that God has allowed this wealth to appear in the hands of certain individuals and countries to work for good. We do not know God's timetable, but just like he guided our deliberations on the sale of 120 Murray Street so that we received $150,000 more than we were prepared to receive, God is also at work in other minds and hearts so that they who have assets far beyond their plans and expectations can eventually, according to God's divine plan, release this surplus for his work. Your reversers may not be sufficient to solve any of the major issues in the world that I began this sermon with. However, you do have one powerful resource which can marshal mountains to the sea, and that is the power of prayer. If you care about something or some situation which is beyond your personal capacity, you have the voice of prayer, which when mingled with the thousands of prayers lifted up by other caring persons, becomes a force to reckon with, and miracles happen. We have used the collective voice of prayer in this congregation over the past many years to lift and guide us. No one in this congregation needs to be introduced to the power prayer has. And so, God has made it abundantly clear that from the beginning of creation, we as human beings were charged with the responsibility of stewardship over the flora and fauna of the world. Jesus, in delivering the great commandment found in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, and reprinted in the front of your bulletins every Sunday, added further responsibility of loving God and revering his intentions for the universe and caring for our neighbors as we would ourselves. The consequences of how well we heed these instructions are revealed in our other scripture today, taken from Matthew 25. There will ultimately be a great sorting out, and we will be judged according to how well we manage to accomplish one thing, based on the instructions handed down, as previously mentioned. The litmus test will be very plain. Either you did or you did not do unto the least of Jesus' followers. If you did, you shall enter the kingdom of God and enjoy eternal life. That's the promise. If you did not, you will suffer eternal punishment. There it is, cut and dried. Our church is a congregation which gives each member many opportunities, many different ways to express this mandate of stewardship over God's creation, including the flora and fauna and fellow beings in need. Most of you are involved in at least one way or another, from participating in the plant sale, to sponsoring an orphan in Haiti, or providing socks and scarves and toiletry packs to Brock Mission and Cameron House, not to mention Gifts for Change, sponsored by our Sunday school kids, and all the other ways that we're reaching out to bless others and make the world a little brighter place in one corner or another, like throwing back one more starfish into the sea. We make a difference for that one. So in answer to the question, why should we care? I can only say, because we do. We do. We take our feelings and we apply the mandate of love and responsibility that we have been given to us as God's co-creators, and we do. And for that reason, we can rejoice. We have not come to this position easily, and we weren't always a church with such an outward-facing attitude. But we are now, and we must continuously be on our guard so that the good we do does not wane, because God gives according to how we have given. The measure you use for others is the measure that God will use for you. Amen.